Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome to episode 9 and the conclusion of our Acts of the Apostles message series. You know, it's great to be back. Pastor Susan and I took a little bit of time off to enjoy the sunshine and to recharge our batteries to get some rest. I think you'd all agree that the last 15 months have been a little draining, so it's important for all of us to pace ourselves, to get the rest that we need, and to take care and love those that Christ has put into our lives. And so I'm just glad to be back at it, but I'm thankful for the time off. And so it's always great to be jumping back into things. You know, over the last 9 weeks, we've been looking at the person, the purpose, and the power of the Holy Spirit at work within the early church, and also how the Holy Spirit is at work within our lives and within the church today. And honestly, I've never been more excited about what God is about to do within our church and within the church at large. I believe that he has created us for such a time as this, to be a part of a move of his Spirit, the likes of which the world has never seen before. And like the Apostle Paul, you and I have been saved from something and for something. And it's that something that he saved us for that has me just filled with anticipation, with expectation, to believe God to do something incredible. And you know what, as we celebrate Canada Day this week, I am very thankful, and I hope you are too, for the freedom that we have in this nation. So blessed to be able to freely share the gospel in our communities, in our city, across the country, and in the nations around the world. I believe that God has truly called Canada to impact the world, and every one of you, as a church, we are part of what God is about to do. And you know what? I'm so proud of Team Calvary, all of you that have served so faithfully over the last 15 months through everything that we've experienced to continue connecting and loving and ministering to one another. You know, it's that power that God stirs up within us that we can not only be blessed and be strengthened, but we can be a blessing and a strength to other people. And you know what? The building may have been closed for a season, but the church has never been closed through all we've experienced. Our Calvary groups have met together in small groups all over the city, virtually and in person now, and it's really been a glue to keep our church community together as people have been encouraging one another, one family standing with another, one individual standing with another, walking in that same direction as we seek to fulfill what he's called us to do. You know, we saw people transformed as they went through our Alpha class and our freedom sessions. We celebrated with people who gave their hearts to Christ and were baptized over the last 15 months. To see people changed by his power, there's nothing in my mind more exciting. And then we've seen people engaged for the first time, serving on teams. And now seeing many of you re-engaging on teams as we kind of exit this COVID time together and put it in our rearview mirror, you know, we still believe that every member can be a minister here at Calvary, young and old. We're a next steps church where we're either taking one of those next steps in our walk with God, or we're helping someone else and coming alongside of them to help them also take those next steps. And you know what? Although our capacity is limited, it's changing quickly, and it's coming back quickly. So that excites me too. But we need your help. We need your help to continue to be effective in how we minister to others. We need more people to serve again on our first impressions team, to have people in our parking lot welcoming people as they come onto the property, to have people standing at the door with a big smile and welcoming people as they walk through the door, to serve them coffee, to usher them to their seat. All of these things are not possible without you. We have so many volunteers serving in our kids' ministry, student ministry, on our worship team. All of these people, all of you working together is really allowing us to impact our city in a powerful way. And so we need you. We need your help. And so if you're interested, please connect with one of our leaders. Talk to someone in the chat today as well. We'd love to connect you with somebody that can really put you in the right place so that God can work in and through your life. Because you know what? When you serve somebody coffee, when you open the door and you wave at them when they come onto the church parking lot, you're a part of a first impression moment that God has orchestrated to help someone new on their spiritual journey. And so I want you to be a part of that. The same way there has been people in your life who have been part of that journey for you, God now wants to use you to do the same. Rick Warren once said that the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. Listen, if you're wondering today, you don't need to wonder any longer. God has a great purpose for your life. And even though some of you may feel isolated and alone, we need you. We love you. And we want you to be a part of our team. All right. If you get your Bible this morning, please take it out. And let's now, as we move into the end of the book of Acts, let's spend some time in chapter 27. And we're going to look at Acts 27, verses 22 through 25. And it says this, "But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you.'" And then Paul goes on and says it again. He says, "So take courage, for I believe God, and it will be just as he said." You know, with all the restrictions to our freedoms that we've come through, it's left many people still feeling isolated, still feeling disconnected and even discouraged. And I think the enemy uses discouragement as a weapon in our lives to pull us away from a community that brings strength to us, to make us feel like we can do this on our own, and yet that discouragement sets in, and it's like arthritis in your bones. You slow down. You can't move like you used to. You know, in Acts 27, in this chapter, Paul is on his way to Rome to face trial and give his testimony before Caesar. And as he crosses the Mediterranean Sea, the ship that he's on heads into a storm that lasts for days. And the people that are on board, all the sailors and the crew, they are freaking out. And they're losing hope very quickly. They're beginning to see that this could be the end. But God gives Paul a word of encouragement. And then Paul encourages the others by saying, "Keep up your courage," or "take courage," which is exactly what I want to talk to you about today. Sometimes you need to look in the mirror and tell yourself that. Keep up the courage. You got to kind of inflate your own tires when they go down. You know what? We may have been in different boats over this last year, but we've all been weathering the same storm. But it's Christ within us. It's His Spirit within us that brings encouragement to us. And then in turn allows us to encourage the people that are around us. There has never been a greater time in my mind to share your story of what Christ has done in your life with the people that are around you. You see, His power enables you and I to do and to be exactly what He's called us to do. The foundational promise that we've grounded this entire series on in Acts 1, verse 8, is really what gives us the strength and the power to weather the storms that we will face, whether it's the one we've come through or whether it's another one that's on its way. He didn't promise us that there wouldn't be storms, but he did say that he would be with us and bring peace to us through them all. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power, where the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of me. That is the strength. That is the power that will see us through. So like Paul, we're conduits. We're channels through which God's power moves. It moves through you. It moves through me to touch the city and the world and the community around us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses of God's love, to live in a way that we can stand against those storms, stand against that opposition, and still accomplish his will. He's the one who leads us, who convicts us, teaches us, and equips us to do the work of spreading the gospel. This message, Calvary, needs to be spread throughout the world, and God wants you to be a part of that. Now, when we read Acts 27, we see the word wind used over and over again. The Bible talks about the great wind and its power that pushed against the ship, that was causing sailing to be dangerous and difficult. See, they were trying to survive a storm that is symbolic of the storms that you and I face in our lives today. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes these storms come out of nowhere when you least expect it, pushing against our progress. As we try to take three steps forward, it's like suddenly we feel like we get five steps that we're pushed back in. You see, there's going to be opposition, but it's God by his Spirit that will allow us to have the power to prevail, to push on. You know, last week I was out in the patio. It was dusk. It was beautiful. The wind was kind of just blowing through the trees, and it was just really relaxing. And as a matter of fact, Susan and I were talking and just saying that it's not all the time that we get that chance to slow down like that and just to breathe, just to take it all in. But you know what? In that same yard a few years ago, I was sitting on a chair in my backyard when the wind began to blow as well. But the wind got more intense. It got violent. Rain started to come down, and suddenly I just jumped up from my chair and I ran in the house. I left the screen door open a little bit so that I could hear and see what was going on, because I've never seen a storm come in so quickly. And I've never seen trees bend as far as they bent. Man, I tell you what, you could see these trees just swaying. You see the roots kind of lifting in the grass. And then suddenly I heard this loud crack, and this massive tree next to our home split in half, and it fell and clipped the side of our house. It crushed part of our fence, and it filled the entire yard. As a matter of fact, it fell right on the chair that I was sitting in only moments before. You know what? In this life, we're going to have times where that gentle wind will blow, and we'll go, this is a good day. It's so relaxing. But then we'll have other days where that wind picks up, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, it's not a relaxing wind or breeze. It's the winds of adversity. And those winds begin to push against us. Now, truthfully, some of the storms we bring on ourselves, like Jonah. We read about Jonah. He was out of the will of God, and he was hopelessly lost in a storm. But that's not always the case, because as we read in Acts 27, Paul was in the will of God, but he was also in the middle of a storm. You see, it wasn't Paul's fault. In fact, he warned them not to sail. And so the centurion made the decision, we're going to push on. We're going to go, despite that warning, we're going to continue on. But listen to me, no matter what storm you face, Jesus will always be there in the midst of it to say, peace, be still. If you're feeling that storm today, those are the words he speaks deep into your spirit. Peace, be still. Now, you may not be able to stop the storms of life, but you can control how you respond when you're in the midst of them. Now, in verses 22 through 25, Paul tells the people on the ship to take heart, to take courage. He says, because this angel appeared to me, an angel of the God that I serve and who I belong. And he gave me an assurance. The angel told him that nobody was going to lose their life. You see, the Spirit of God always speaks to us in the midst of the storm. And sometimes it's hard to hear because we're so focused on the trees swaying and the branches breaking and the things that are swirling around us. But if you listen, he's always speaking. He's always speaking in the storm. So when your flesh kind of gets the best of you, you need to remind yourself that Jesus is still Lord. He's not going to abandon you when you need him the most. He is there for you. See, I know God. I know that he loves me. I know that he cares for me. And so it's that assurance, the assurance of my faith that keeps me secure. You see this in the story, the difference between how Paul responded and how the sailors responded in the midst of the storm. You see, when the world shakes, like it has, and may continue to shake, this is the time for believers to set an example for the watching world. Listen, storms don't make a person, but they do show us what we're made of when that pressure comes on. Then in verse 29, it says, fearing they would run aground, they cast four anchors. Now, anchors, as we know, right, they keep a ship steady at sea. Anchors help us from drifting, keep us locked in. So let me give you four anchors that will help to keep you secure and stable through the storms of life. The first one, very, very important. This anchor has really kept Calvary secure through what we have experienced in the world. And that first anchor is the anchor of prayer. Prayer should always, always, always be our first response, not our last resort. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God. You can circle, highlight, do whatever you have to do around the word all. Give it all to him. As a matter of fact, the NIV translation says to cast all your anxiety on him. Do you have some anxiety? I think some of us would be nodding our heads that we do. The Bible says to give it to him because he cares about you. Give it to him. Take it to him in prayer. Go to God first before we go to all the other weaker substitutes to get relief during the storm. Pray in the Spirit. Anchor yourself in prayer. Listen, during the greatest storm of the life of Christ, what did he do? Where did he go? Jesus disappeared and he was in the place of prayer. He was listening to his Father. He was watching his Father. I only do what I see the Father do. I only speak what I hear him say. When the wind blows and the rain pelts against your life, find yourself on your knees. Go to God in prayer. That's the anchor of prayer. Then number two, the anchor of faith. Now, this is a position where you're locked in so that no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, you know deep inside that all is well. Somebody needs to hear that today. All is well. You may still feel kind of out of sorts, like your life has been upturned. I want you to know in Jesus' name today that all is well. You see, my faith is securely anchored in his Acts 1, verse 8 power, the power of the Holy Spirit empowering me to live a life that he's called me to. Not reliant on my own strength or my own limited power. See, I don't believe in the power of the winds or the waves that are going to sink my progress in what God has called me to do. My faith is in the God who speaks to those elements. You see, when the winds came out of nowhere and the disciples were in the boat fearing that water would overtake them, they looked out and at first thought it was a ghost, but there Jesus was walking on the water coming towards them. You see, you and I are going to weather some storms. Doesn't mean that when we follow Christ that we're exempt from those storms. But in the midst of our darkest hour, you can look out and see the impossible. You can see Jesus walking on the water. And there Jesus came towards them before Peter's big step of faith. And in Matthew 14, 27, it says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage.'" Calvary, take courage. "It is I," says Jesus. "Don't be afraid." Number three, the anchor of hope. One of my favorite anchors of all. You see, when all others lost their hope, whether it was on Paul's ship or whether it was your neighbors in the midst of a global pandemic, hope is anchoring us in him. To know that a better day is still to come. To know that the good work he started in you, that he is faithful to complete it and to see it through. The anchor of hope. We must let our hopes, not our hurts, shape our future. Let your hopes shape your future. Desmond Tutu said, "Hope is being able to see the light despite all the darkness." So even in dark times, we have hope because we see his light. We see him at work. And then finally, number four, the anchor of action. In verses 34 to 35, Scripture tells us that the sailors did everything that they knew to do. They were throwing weight overboard. They were eating to keep themselves healthy. They even had a little communion. They had a little church just in the midst of that storm. That's peace, right? To be able to have that kind of focus. But it was because of Paul's leadership in that moment that helped them to see what was ahead, that they needed to act in order to step into that hope. So listen, stop thinking about serving and serve. Stop thinking about coming back to church and put your pants on and come back to church. God will protect you. God will keep you. Stop thinking about loving your neighbor and do it. Get out there and love them. You know, how thankful we are that Jesus didn't just show up on the planet to tell us, "I love you." Right? He didn't just tell us that. He didn't just write it down and leave it with us. Jesus stretched out his arms on that cross, and he demonstrated what true love was all about. He gave his love. He took an action of love so that you can step in and experience what that hope is all about. Never doubt in the dark what God has spoken to you in the light. See, in all the uncertainty, people need to be reminded that it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. That all is well. You know what? You need to spend time with God to get a word from God and then stand on that promise. Get into the scriptures. Stand on what it's promised you, because it's those promises that will see you through. It's those promises that saw our church through probably one of its most difficult times in history. Don't let circumstances change your commitment to God, to whatever he's called you to do. Allow those circumstances to refine you, to focus you, to develop you, to bring you closer to him instead of being pulled further away. You know, the centurion in Acts 27, 43 to 44, commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, the Bible says, and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Now, I've had the opportunity to be on a couple of cruises that are very far at sea, where you would stand on the deck, and despite all the fun that's around you, suddenly you get this creepy feeling as you look out, and for 360 degrees all around you, you don't see anything but water. Now, I can't think of anything more terrifying than being in a situation like that, especially in the midst of a storm where there is no hope of rescue, where you're being told, "If you can swim, man, jump now. And if you can't swim, then grab on to something that's floating by as the ship breaks into pieces." Some of you today are facing a storm in your marriage. Some of you are looking at your retirement investment, and maybe it's being affected. Some of your stocks are being influenced by the tough economic times that we're going through. Some of you have had to close businesses. Some of you have had relationships that have been torn apart through this time. And when you look out all around you, for 360 degrees all around you, you cannot see a sign or a hope of rescue. But I want to encourage you today to hang on tightly to whatever board floats your way. Because God doesn't need another ship. He doesn't need a lifeboat. He just needs to send you one board to keep you safe. He will keep you afloat. He will see you through. I want to tell you, you're going to make it. You're going to find yourself coming to shore again because God has made a commitment to you that he will always care for you. He can look after you despite how impossible it seems. Hang on to God because God is hanging on to you. You know what? Many Greek scholars believe that the word parts of the ship can actually be translated into people. That means that people who could swim were hanging on to other people who couldn't swim. They were rescuing them, right? Listen, we are in this together. We are stronger together, and we will come through it together. So if you're discouraged today, I want to encourage you, stop looking at the storm. Start looking at the one who speaks to the elements and brings peace to them. Even the winds and waves obey the voice of God. Let God encourage you, and as he encourages you, you go out and you encourage other people. Listen, Acts tells the story of what happens after Jesus returns to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes. We see the beginning of the church. We see how it begins to grow and is empowered. We see how the followers of Christ began to recall the things that he said, and now they started to make sense. See, for the Christ follower today, for you and me, Acts is proof that Jesus meant what he said when he said, "You'll see and do greater things even than I have done." You see, Acts is a picture of the power of the local church and a challenge to all of us to continue to take the good news to the four corners of the planet. But you know what? It starts with your street. It starts with your neighbor. It starts with your family. Don't get overwhelmed by the bigger picture. Do what you can do, and he will do the rest. It's because of his death, because of his resurrection, that our lives have been forever changed. And my prayer for you today, that you would know him, that you would know him deeply, and that you would commit your life to make him known to all those around you. So today, as we close our service, and as we close this series, I pray that you would realize that the early church, the Holy Spirit at work within it, it was just the beginning, because it continues now in you. You are empowered by the Spirit. And if you don't know Jesus, you can know him. And it would be my honor to pray for you and with you today. You know, we've got our host team in the chat. Just click on raise your hand and let us know that you'd like to be a part of that prayer today. If that's you, click on that hand, and I want to pray this prayer with you wherever you are. All around the world, whether you're here in our own province or whether you're on the other side of the planet, wherever you are, if you're listening to this on a podcast, today God wants to bring you that hope, to be anchored in that hope, to be anchored in his prayer as we seek him, as prayer becomes not something we have to do, but it becomes a dialogue of an active relationship. God has called you and I to walk with him in power, not to limp along through life. So I'm going to pray for you today, for those of you that want to know Christ, and for those of you that do, I pray today that you would renew your commitment to allow your life to make him known. Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that because of my sin, I've been separated from you. I thank you for dying on a cross for me. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. And I commit myself to proclaim that good news wherever I go. And for those that do know you, Lord, I pray today that the Holy Spirit would empower them to live lives of purpose, of great purpose. I speak a blessing on Calvary Church, on every family, every individual represented, and we believe in Jesus' name that the best is still to come. Amen. God's best to all of you, Calvary. I love you guys. Look forward to seeing you again soon.